This is Nachyomi, Sefer Melachim Aleph, Chapter 1, as we begin the new book of Melachim. According to our tradition, the book of Melachim was authored by Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah the prophet. This is a very significant piece of information for us to keep in mind as we study the book, because it gives us an insight into the prophetic message of Sefer Melachim, and tells us that it's best understood in the context of the themes and lessons that were conveyed by Yirmiyahu to the people throughout his life and career. Specifically, we should expect, and we'll see, that the book of Melachim will help us comprehend the decline and fall of the monarchy of Israel. It will do so by first describing the height of its development and progress, culminating in the rule of King Shlomo and the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. And the book will conclude with the destruction of the temple and the exile of the Jewish people by the Babylonians. The book of Melachim, like the book of Shemuel, is one book. The division into Melachim Aleph, Kings 1, and Melachim Bet, Kings 2, is an artificial division that was introduced for convenience later. Now to our chapter. King David has grown old and can no longer keep warm, even with blankets covering him. His advisors suggest that he find a beautiful young woman who can lie next to him and provide him the body heat that he needs to stay warm. They conduct a national search, like a beauty contest, and select a proper candidate for this purpose, Avishag HaShunamit, who will become significant in other contexts in the future as well. Meanwhile, David's oldest surviving son, Adoniyahu, has prepared to declare himself the new king of Israel. He garners many supporters from among David's close associates, including Yoav ben Tzeruiah, Eviatar the Kohen, and others. Adoniyahu organizes a coronation party for himself, notably excluding the prophet Natan, Benayahu ben Yehoyada, Tzadok Kohen, and his own brother Shlomo from the guest list. Natan the prophet approaches Bathsheba and informs her of these developments, of which King David is apparently unaware. He instructs Bathsheba to challenge David on why he's violated his oath to appoint Shlomo his successor to the throne, and why he's allowed Adoniyahu to reign. Natan will then enter the palace and confirm that Adoniyahu has declared himself king without involving the prophet himself, Benayahu, Tzadok, or Shlomo in the process. Natan will ask whether this move was authorized by the king or not. Bathsheba implements the plan as directed by Natan, and David responds by affirming his promise to designate Shlomo as heir to the throne. David commands his inner circle of advisors and officers to lead Shlomo on his own mule down to the Gihon River, meaning on the mule of the king, and to coronate him there. Shlomo is then brought to the palace and is made to sit upon the throne in the presence of David himself. Everyone attending blesses David, and everyone notes that David has received a great privilege in seeing his own son receive the power in his lifetime. In other words, that he gets to witness this process of succession, the transfer of the throne to the next generation, while still alive. Word of David's response comes to Adoniyahu through Yonatan, the son of Eviatar the Kohen. Everyone who is participating in this unauthorized party of Adoniyahu starts to panic. Adoniyahu himself runs to the sanctuary, takes refuge by holding the horns of the altar to kind of claim asylum, so that he won't be punished. Shlomo dispatches a messenger to Adoniyahu to tell him that if he shows loyalty and allegiance to the new regime, he won't have to fear for his life. Adoniyahu appears before Shlomo and bows to him, demonstrating that he acknowledges the legitimacy of Shlomo's claim to the throne. Now, there are several points worth highlighting in this chapter. The first is the curious strategy employed by the servants of David to cure his chills. Do they really have to search through the entire kingdom to find a beautiful woman? Couldn't they find somebody local? Even if we're going to agree or accept that this is a therapeutic method, couldn't they have found a young woman around the neighborhood? Why did they have to go through the entire kingdom just to find a woman who's going to lie next to David and keep him warm? More basically, what's the relevance of this whole episode to the ensuing drama with Adoniyahu? We're going to see that Avishag HaShunamit is a significant character later on, but why now? It seems that the purpose of the description of David's condition is to convey to us that he is now perceived as very passive, withdrawn, sickly, and basically out of the picture, out of commission. His lack of involvement in public affairs and absence from the political scene kind of sets the groundwork for Adoniyahu's premature declaration of his own claim to the crown. It doesn't appear that Adoniyahu saw himself as rebelling against David. After all, several key David loyalists, like Yoav himself, participate in the coronation. Furthermore, as soon as David makes his official pick for king, Adoniyahu discontinues his pursuit of the crown, and his movement disbands. Rather, Adoniyahu is capitalizing on the weakness of David and his hands-off approach to the affairs of the kingdom in order to put his own aspirations to power on the fast track. He doesn't see himself as a rebel. He's just trying to move along the succession process and maybe bypass Shlomo. Adoniyahu was the oldest prince. He was handsome, charming, and popular, so he felt that he was a shoo-in for the position. While he may have suspected that he was not David's choice for the job, he knew that Shlomo was, it would seem, and he didn't include Natan in his party, so that suggested that he didn't think he had prophetic authorization either. He was also keenly aware of David's disengagement from politics at this point in his life, and he was confident that David would not come out of retirement to protest or object to his assumption of leadership. We can conjecture that the servants of David who recommended the national beauty contest that led to the identification and selection of Avishag HaShunammit were the same servants who backed Adoniyahu's efforts to claim the throne by publicizing David's need for a woman to keep him warm, going throughout the kingdom looking for her. They made sure that the population became aware of just how feeble the king was and how serious of a vacuum of leadership prevailed in Jerusalem. This, they thought, would make Adoniyahu's candidacy and immediate rise to power much more appealing. Another difficulty with the story is the roundabout approach of Natan to addressing David. Why does he prompt Bathsheba to speak to the king first and then only arrive afterwards to confirm her words? Can't he simply appear before David in his capacity as a prophet and ask him to give a decision on the issue of succession? Alternatively, couldn't Bathsheba alone convey the message here? It seems that Natan understood David's state of passivity and his waning strength, and therefore he was sensitive to what needed to be done in order to pressure him into taking an official position on this contentious issue. Had Bathsheba come alone, David may have brushed off her request, postponed it, promised to take care of it later, assuming that it wasn't particularly urgent, and hoping not to have to deal with it altogether. On the other hand, if Natan had discussed the matter with David independently, David's response might have been more circumspect, less direct. He might have opted to take a hands-off approach to the controversy, see how it developed. The combination of Bathsheba's request that the oath to her be honored and Natan's emphasis of the urgency of the situation moved David out of complacency to offer a decisive, dramatic, and final answer, exactly what was needed to resolve the whole controversy. As soon as he has declared his preference for Shlomo, David details and initiates an official coronation ceremony full of proper pomp and circumstance, and clearly and obviously contrasted with the unofficial grassroots event organized by Adoniyahu. And as soon as Adoniyahu and his associates realize that David has surprisingly reinserted himself into the public arena to make his endorsement, an endorsement they know that the nation will embrace and uphold, they accept the fact that their movement has effectively and permanently been undermined in favor of Shlomo's ascent to the throne.